and I don't get to see your reactions. And so that's going to be different. It's going to be different for me. It'll be different for you. But hey, thanks for tuning in. Like Brian said, it'd be really cool if we just all like and share what's going on right now on our Facebook page, because, man, we have a great opportunity to reach thousands of people who may never step into church. Friends of ours that we have on Facebook, everybody's got 100 friends or something. So it would be really cool if we just got as many people, just a little touch of Jesus today. So I want to encourage you to do that. But I want you to know that we love you guys. We think about you. We have been thinking about you. As we process through the week with all the different changes and things that we have to do a little bit differently for a small time, we have really put a lot of effort into trying to make these things work. If you know me, you know I'm not a techie guy. So the fact that we're doing this is well above anything that I could have ever dreamed or imagined. I'm just super glad that you're here. I want to encourage you, and really, I want God's word to encourage you this morning. It's no strange thing what God does. We've been going through the book of James, and we've been focusing on something called practical faith. And we are at a point today in James chapter 5 that totally deals with what's going on right now in our world. And so we're going to find four things today that James says that we can do while we're waiting. And so I'm excited, because as I unpacked this week and as I got to kind of experience what God was trying to tell me about what are we doing right now, when I saw a post the other day that said, this is the only time when staying at home and watching TV will actually help something, you know. But it's just such a strange time. So I am excited just to get into God's Word. I'm excited to share with you what James has to say to us this morning. But would you guys just pray with me? We're going to just invite God to come into our homes this morning and just fill us with truth from His Word. So would you pray with me? Father God, I'm just so thankful that You love us. And that in the midst of all this that's going on, You've created a way for us to be together. You've created a way for us to read Your Word together and to study together. God, You are an amazing, amazing God. God, I want to thank You for all of those who are tuning in right now. Lord, for those who will tune in a little bit, some who will watch later this week. God, would You just bless? Would You protect these families? Would You protect these people from the sickness that's going around? Would you do something just amazing in Your people that would reflect Your glory, that would be for Your name's sake, Jesus? God, I pray that You would just form us in a way that our practical faith is lived out, even in these moments and these days and weeks where it's hard to live out anything because we're stuck in our homes or in our small groups. And so, God, I just pray that You would do a work. God, I pray that You would speak through me this morning, that the words that come from my mouth would be Your words, that You would make this as less strange as possible for each one of us. So, God, I love You. We love You. We pray this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. Okay, guys, so open your Bibles to James chapter 5. Just because you're at home doesn't mean that you don't have to open your Bibles. I expect, well, I should hear your pages turning from here. So I really hope that you'll open your Bibles and follow along with us. And here's why I'm telling you to do this. You should not just assume that what I tell you is true. You should search God's Word for yourself. You should see what God is doing in His Word and make sure that anybody who stands on this stage is actually sharing the truth that God has. So I want to encourage you to do that as we read James chapter 5. We're going to read verse 7 through 12. So follow along. In fact, you could read out loud with me as you declare God's Word in your home. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you will not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you will not fall under condemnation. Can one of you come shut this off? It's not going to work. This one right here. Sorry, guys. We got some playback going on over here. All right. So here's what I want you to look at. I want you to look at four things that James talks about that we could practically be doing right today, tomorrow, and in the weeks to come as we focus on living out our faith in the present stage of life. So here's the four things, and you probably caught them already. Number one is be patient. We're going to see that. Number two, he says to establish your hearts. Number three, he says don't grumble against your brothers and sisters. And number four, he says remain steadfast. So these four things are super important, and here's why. He says something three times that we have to pay attention to. He says that Jesus is coming soon. And that's a fact that we know. We don't know the time, and we don't know the day, and we don't know necessarily what soon looks like in our view. God knows. But what we know is that Jesus is coming soon. And so he's saying it's time for us to prepare and to be ready. And so four things while we live life, four things we can do is be patient, establish your hearts, don't grumble, and remain steadfast. I'm gonna hit on this again later, but one thing you didn't hear me say is freak out, take toilet paper, go running around and buy everything off the shelves you can. It doesn't say that. There's four things that we need to focus on. So let's look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Let's just stop there for a minute. I want you to see this word patient. So this word patient means to persevere patiently and bravely while enduring misfortune and trouble as you wait for a desired event. So in our life, we've had to wait, or we've had to be patient, where we're putting on the brave face, we're doing things in a way that we're waiting, even though we're going through some hard times, we're waiting for something to happen. In this case, what we're waiting for is the return of Jesus of the future. So he says, be patient. And then there's this huge word, it's the word until, and he uses it twice in these next two verses. But the word until, it gives you the idea that up to that point, you're doing something. But until it happens, when the until comes, we've stopped because the day is here. The event that we're waiting for has finally arrived. So the idea of until is that we do something until the event comes. When it comes, we're not anticipating it. It's here. Praise the Lord. So he says, be patient until. Live in such a way that you are persevering with bravery, even though you're going through some hard times, because Jesus is coming. So be patient until. And then James, look at this next part of verse 7. He gives us a practical application of how this looks in real life. He says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient, there's that word, about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. Now, some interesting thing about farming is this. You don't make it rain. If you're a farmer, you can't make it rain. But what we know is that rain typically comes in the spring and in the fall. And farmers use those days when the ground is moist to do work. And in between the rains, they don't just go sit in their office. They're doing things. They're pulling weeds. They're spraying fields. They're cultivating. There are all kinds of things that they're doing while they're waiting for the harvest. Until. That's the word. So James gives us this wonderful example about being patient until. We're supposed to be working constantly until the event comes. So let me tell you a story about, there's a movie called Facing the Giants. It's probably one of my favorite movies of all time. And in the story, the coach gets a visit from a guy in town who comes and prays over the school. And he says to him, there's a story about two farmers, and they both desperately needed rain. And so they prayed for rain, both of them. But one of them went out and planted fields, while the other one stayed at home and just prayed for rain. And it did rain, but who do you suppose benefited from the rain? And the answer is the one who prepared his fields. So if we just wait for the early and late rain and do nothing else, we've wasted our time. There are things that we are to be doing in life as we go through and do all of these things. We need to be working towards the until. So look at verse 8 with me. He says, you also must be patient. And then establish your hearts. And here he says it again, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. This is a huge statement. So he says, establish your hearts. So we've been patient. We're being patient. We are persevering bravely in the midst of trial. And he says, now because you're doing this, step 2, establish your hearts. So to establish your hearts means that you turn resolutely. You're firm and steadfast in a certain direction. It's like you plant your feet firm so that you're not moved. And you do this because the until is close. Because the coming of the Lord is close. So as we're being patient, and as we set our mind and our feet and our hearts in a direction, the direction is Jesus and the anticipation of His return and the anticipation of the things that He will do. Until then, establish your hearts. Right now, this is one of the most important things that we could do, is have our hearts established. Be going in a direction, looking at the direction of Jesus. If you take your eyes off of Jesus for a moment, in times like these, you'll certainly have days and thoughts of despair. But the fact is that God has not moved. He is the same today as He was before, and He will be later. So establish your heart. We don't want to waver in our focus. If we're true believers, that should not be an option for us. So then the question is, and we've asked this question a few times in the last couple of weeks, but are you a true follower of Jesus? Do you know who He is? Do you know where He's going, what He's doing, what He likes and what He doesn't like? Is He personally your Jesus? If He is, then we should always have our hearts established in a direction towards Him. That should not change. Our hearts should not change. Our minds should not change. Our beliefs should not change. No matter what people say, no matter what happens, man, when we hear Jesus and we think about future, our thoughts and our hearts should always be, my Jesus hasn't stopped yet, and He's not going to. So our direction should always be towards Jesus, towards His interest, towards His will, towards His design and His everything that He wants. Look at verse 9 with me. So we've said, be patient, establish your hearts, and don't grumble against one another. Let's read this. Don't grumble against one another, brothers. And you could really say brothers and sisters. Remember, James is writing to believers. So these are people who have a common thread in their life. And the common thread is that they're children of God. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. So don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, so that you will not be judged. Look, behold, the judge, Jesus, is standing at the door. Again, he's saying, the time is coming. If you think about the fact that Jesus someday will return for his church, and you don't know when, the last thing you should want is for Jesus to find you grumbling against your brother or sister in Christ. Let me explain to you what this grumbling looks like. So to grumble against somebody else means that you're groaning, or that you're mumbling, or that you're sighing at them. You see them do something, or they say something, or they act a way that you don't like, and you find in your mind, for a moment maybe, that you think that they're just a little bit less than you. Jesus says, don't do that. So in times like this, when you go to the grocery store and you can't find what you wanted, when you start to think about the unraveling of what seems normal, what happens in our hearts is we kind of lean towards this, I'm more important than you mindset. And when we do that, we begin to cut our brothers and sisters out of our lives. And these are the times when the church needs to mount up and rise up and lock arms and be the church. The church isn't this building that I'm sitting in right here. The church is you. The church is the body of Christ all over the world. The people who love Jesus, they need to be locking arms together socially acceptably with our 6-foot distance, of course. But we need to be locking arms with our hearts saying, together we love Jesus and we are still fighting for him. We are still doing and living and doing what he wants us to be doing. What we should not be doing is allowing our hardships to make us unloving towards one another. And it's easy to do. I mean, if you think about it, some of you have been at home for a week with your kids. I'm sorry. I get it. I remember those days. And there's times when it could just be frustrating. But these are the moments when we need to share the love of Jesus the way it's been shared with us. So, we don't want to be found when Jesus returns bad-mouthing someone else or treating someone else less than. James talks about that a lot. We talked a number of weeks ago about our tongues and how our tongues are like a fire, and the things that we say, once they're out, they don't come back. We talked about even before that how when you see somebody who's dressed nicely and somebody dressed nicer, the nicer things in life. That's not the point. The point is we need to be loving everyone. So don't grumble against your brothers and sisters. Okay, look at verse 10 with me. We're actually going to read verse 10, 11, and we're going to kind of blend these together. But look what it says. Be patient. Establish your hearts. Don't grumble. And in verse 10, it's almost to say, if you need an example of how this works, as an example of suffering and patience, those two words, brothers, take the prophets that spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. Okay, James gives an example of living in a time where Jesus is unpopular, where living out your faith in real time is, sorry, we had some technical difficulties again. We're good. This way. We good? Okay. So James is talking about difficulty in life, just like right now. If you were a prophet in the Old Testament, God gave you a word to say to a very specific people. And those words were typically not, hey, you're rocking it. God just wants you to know, good job. A lot of times those things that they had to say were, you've upset the God of heaven. And he's going to rain down judgment on you. And he's not happy with you right now. and you need to repent. Those are the kinds of things that they had to say. Now, if you remember Jonah, God says to Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to proclaim to Nineveh that I'm going to destroy them because they're sinful. And Jonah said, no, I'm going somewhere else. So he jumped on a boat and he took off the opposite direction of Nineveh. Well, he ended up going to Nineveh, but imagine the fear that he had. The people of Nineveh were the most brutal people of the world at the time. They would skin their people alive and then hang them until they died. So here's what Jonah has to look forward to. Go to a place where they're going to skin you alive and they're going to hang you until you die. And while you're going there, tell them I'm going to destroy them too. So this isn't a fun thing. You think about the prophets, man, they took a beating. And so, but he goes, he shares the news, and God does something amazing. The people repent, they get on their knees, they ask for forgiveness, and God spares them. But it's not easy sometimes to live out our faith practically. Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament. He was put in stocks, put in prison, put in the dungeon. I mean, there were things that happened to these guys that we can't even imagine. And we're afraid that our neighbor might laugh at us. If we go tell them, hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but I recognize right now times are tough. And I just want you to know I've been praying for you. And if you need anything, just let me know. Like, we're afraid that they'll laugh at us and say, really? You want to trust God right now? But these guys, they know what it's like in the Old Testament. They knew what it was like to go up against some massive, massive controversy. So, if you need an example of what it's like to suffer and be patient, he says, look at them. Your life right now is really not that bad. The things that you go up against right now are really not that bad. We have it pretty easy where we live. So, remain steadfast. This is our next thing. Look at verse 11. He said that you've heard about the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. And so maybe you don't know about Job. Let me tell you a little bit about Job. First of all, the idea of remaining steadfast, it means this. You absolutely and emphatically, under misfortune and trials, hold fast to your faith in Christ. Let me say that again. To remain steadfast means that you absolutely and emphatically, under misfortune and trials, hold fast to your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it is to remain steadfast. So if you were a prophet of old and you had to think about my steadfastness, when I'm about to go to a place where they're going to skin me alive, I have got to remain steadfast in this time, or else I won't make it to the city. And so, absolutely and emphatically, under misfortune and trial, hold fast to your faith. So he brings up this guy, Job. Job's also from the Old Testament. Job, if you don't know Job, Job was the most religious, the most connected to God kind of guy that walked the earth. He was rich beyond measure. But he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord so much that he would do every day for whatever his kids might have did the night before, he would do a sacrifice so that they would be covered. I mean, he trusted God's sovereignty to the T. And then God decided to allow Job to see how good he really is. But it didn't happen like you think. Here's what happened. God allowed Satan to intervene in his life. And in a matter of a few hours, really, he lost all of his kids, all of his livestock, all of his money, all of his homes. He lost everything he had except for a nagging wife that told him, you should just curse God and die. What a wonderful thing, right? Thank you, God. Thanks for leaving me with her. Here's the deal. For a long time, Job endured massive trial and misfortune. But in it, he always trusted God. He never let his faith waver, even though it was the worst he could think of. He had friends who would come and try to encourage him, and they were just not great friends. But all the way through, it continually said that even though Job endured these things, he did not curse God with his mouth. He stayed true to his faith. And in the end, God blessed Job beyond measure to return everything that he had lost and then some. God blessed Job because Job stayed steadfast. He remained steadfast. And so the encouragement is that you remain steadfast as well in the midst of your trials. So what do we do in times like these? Because right now, we are in a place where the truth is, it's uncertain days. We know that this will pass. We're not afraid. We're cautious. We're trying to be smart about what we do. We don't have anybody here today because we want you to be safe. We're trying to be good stewards of the people that God has put in the church at Glen Park. So that's what we're doing. But what do we do practically day after day after day? So look at this with me. Write this down. I want you to think practically with your family right now, practically. If we're being patient, write it down. I'm going to be patient. I am going to patiently persevere with bravery, even though I'm enduring misfortune and trouble. As I wait for, period. What? One thing is, as I wait for the coming of Jesus. Man, I would much rather Jesus come back than the coronavirus disappear. How much better would it be if we could just be in the presence of Jesus forever? But if that doesn't happen right now, let's pray that, God, I want to be patient while I endure this time of coronavirus. And, see, we still have fun on TV, can't we? Okay. It's fine. I don't care if you have a corona right now. Okay. But I'm going to patiently persevere. I'm going to be brave. I'm going to be looking in a direction towards my Jesus until he comes or the coronavirus passes by, right? That's what we're going to do. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to call somebody in your family that you haven't talked to. Just check on them. Just say, hey, are you okay? Do you need anything? You doing all right? Maybe you have some elderly people in your family that can't get out. You need to get out and help them get some groceries or something. Go call them and say, how can I help you? How are you? Maybe you just pray with them. Maybe there's people that you know that are shut-ins that just never get out. They're not related to you. Maybe it's your neighbor lady or your neighbor guy, and you just need to check on them. Just go check on them. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe you just need to share Jesus with your friends, because the reality is no matter coronavirus or not, people need Jesus. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you have nothing. Even if you're healthy, you have nothing. So check on your friends. Check on your family. Check on your neighbors. Start praying more. Pray with your family. Get together and enjoy the relationship with Jesus as a family. Pray together. Start to grow together as your families. You're being patient. Remember, we have to keep working until the until comes. So keep being active in your pursuit of Jesus. Be patient. Second, I want you to learn to establish your heart, okay? So again, that means that we're going to turn resolutely. We're going to turn firmly, steadfastly in a certain direction. We're going to plant our feet firm. And really, here it is. We're going to turn our eyes on Jesus, right? Because nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. So turn your eyes to Jesus. That's what it means to establish your heart. It means to turn your gaze and your focus to Jesus. And we're doing this because the until is coming. The until is coming. So here's some things that you can do. Joshua 24:15 says this. Choose this day who you will serve. So he says, maybe God's not your thing. It's time for you to make a decision. Either you are for God or you're against God. Choose today who you will serve. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Get your family on board with what you actually are trying to do. So, dads, listen to me for a minute. Your responsibility is to teach your children how to love Jesus well. Husbands, your responsibility is to teach your wives and direct them how to love Jesus well. We need to step up, men, and we need to lead our families in the right direction, and the direction is Jesus. And so I want you to learn and practice and work on getting your family on board, and you're going to get them to do that by doing what you say you believe. So I'm going to encourage you to do that. Lead by example. Kids, listen up for a minute. That's right. You can't just sit around and do nothing. I'm going to talk to you. Follow your dads. When they're leading you to Jesus, follow them. Like, see that they love Jesus and learn why they love Jesus. And then ask God, God, would you give me a love for Jesus like that? Dads, this is a big weight. Moms, single moms, you're the same place. You need to lead your kids well by example. I know some of you single moms have little boys, little girls that look to you for everything. And that's a big weight. But guess what? What a beautiful thing if you lead them to Jesus. So I want to encourage you to do that. Lead your family to Jesus by setting your eyes on Jesus. Okay, don't grumble. How are we going to practically not grumble? These are the times, right, when the church needs to rise up. We talk about we need to be seen as the body of Christ, not as separate entities, not as people who argue with each other, but the body of Christ. We need to have an unshakable faith because we're feeding off of each other. So again, I said this before, don't allow hardships to make us unloving to each other. So you're home more than normal, and that cannot be very fun. I know. It's weird for me because all of my kids are 9 hours away. But I can remember what it was like when we had, how many kids? 1, 2, 3, I don't know, 5 kids or whatever in our house at one time. Man, it would be crazy. And when it would snow in Iowa and you'd get like 3 feet and you couldn't go anywhere, people got restless. So no doubt people are getting restless in your homes. Take these opportunities not to get angry when things don't go your way. Compliment each other instead of tear each other down. That's a hard thing to do, but I can tell you it works. It works when you, even if your son is super loud, you could be like, hey, bud, you're really good at being loud, but I think you could be good at being quiet too. I mean, you see how that works? Compliment people. All right, so here's what it says in Hebrews 10:24. It says, and let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. So that means that you are being preemptive in your thoughts of how can I encourage my brothers and my sisters? How can I encourage my kids? How can I encourage my wife? How can I encourage my husband? We're being proactive. We're thinking forward. How can we do things that encourage each other? In these days when we're stuck together, we may be doing this for a few weeks yet. We don't know, but start to love each other and encourage people. Remain steadfast. Man, this one's huge. This one's probably going to be the hardest one. But let's walk through it. Remember that to remain steadfast means that you absolutely and emphatically, under misfortune and trial, hold fast to your faith in Jesus Christ. So here's what you need to do. You need to pray more. You need to read your Bible more. You need to practice what you preach. You need to believe what you confess. And you need to stand firm. We do this in 1,000 different ways. You might go to work tomorrow if you're still going to work. And you might hear the chatter on the office everywhere, it seems like, is the world is coming to an end. Who knows what's going to happen? It's all bad, bad, bad. There's a lot of bad stuff. That's true. But you don't have to be a part of that. You could be the encouragement in that. That, yeah, you know what? There's a lot of stuff going on that's really hard to handle, really hard to swallow right now. But let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus makes this a little bit easier because when you take the weight off of yourself and you put it on Jesus to control and to save and to provide, man, that changes everything. So you need to believe what you're actually preaching and what you confess. You need to read your Bible, because as you read your Bible, you will understand what God is trying to tell you. He has truth for you in His Word. So get your Bible out and start reading. Start praying, God, as I read my Bible today, would you please help me understand what it is that you want me to learn, and then help me apply it to my life right now and today. Because the day is coming. The until is soon. Whether it's until we get to go back to life as normal, or whether it's until Jesus returns, the until is soon. Look at verse 12 for me for just a minute. It said, but above all, my brothers and sisters, don't swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. So look here. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, but you're not living like it, then your yes and your no are different. If you say that you're not a Christian, but you try to subscribe to Christian-y things, then your yes and your no are different as well. It's super important that we actually say what we mean and do what we mean. Because as you read through all this, if you are a child of God, if you're waiting for the until, then when you say yes and no, people need to be able to trust you. If you're sharing Jesus with your coworkers or your family who don't know Him, and they don't trust your word, then they won't listen. So let your yes be yes and your no be no. Take this time where God has given us a time where we can really focus on our relationship with Jesus and make it real. Make it so that your life reflects what you believe and what you say. Now, I want two things. I want to talk to you people who are believers, you're followers of Jesus. And I want to share something with you, because there's a guy, his name is Spurgeon. He's a pastor a long time ago, wrote a lot of really neat things, a lot of great things. I'm going to share something with you. But I want you to think about the until for a minute. So whether it's until the virus passes, or whether it's until Jesus takes us home, we are to be busy. And in our busyness, life is going to be difficult. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter who you are. Life is going to be difficult. And you're going to have to practically live out your faith in a difficult world. And there will be days when you doubt whether or not it's worth it. And you'll wonder, are maybe everybody else right and I'm wrong? And things will cross your mind. I want to read to you what Spurgeon wrote. When God shall give you a rich return for all that you've done for Him, you will blush to think that you ever doubted. You will be ashamed to think that you ever grew weary in His service. You will have your reward, he says. Maybe not tomorrow, so wait. Maybe not the next day, perhaps, so be patient. You may be full of doubts one day, your joy is sinking low. It may be rough, windy weather with you in your spirit. You may even doubt whether you are the Lord's. But if you have rested in the name of Jesus, if by the grace of God you are what you are, if He is all your salvation and all your desire, have patience. Have patience. For the reward will surely come when God's good time is. Wow. I mean, think about this. This is 100% factual for us. We struggle and we get low and we wonder, is it, where are we going to get there? And there will be a day when we're going to stand before the Lord and we'll see Him in His radiance and in His glory, and we will wonder why we ever doubted for a moment. What a beautiful day. Believers, let me encourage you. Jesus is going to come back for His people. Be ready. Be thinking. Be busy about the service of God. People need the Lord. They need to hear that they have sin and that it can be forgiven, that it can be taken away. They need to hear that even though there's a distance between them and God right now, that distance can be removed in a moment. But they're not going to hear unless you open your mouth. So I need to encourage you. God wants you to be working. He wants you to be busy. So be busy. So if you're listening and you would say, man, I am really struggling because I feel like I have no hope whatsoever. I feel like every day I wake up and my world's crashing down. I watch all the stuff around me. I'm scared. And I feel like I have no hope. I need to tell you something. Jesus can be your hope. He wants to be your hope. He wants to be your hope so much that he left heaven, came to earth, lived a perfect life, and died in your place. To pay for your sin, the thing that separates you from God, the thing that gives you no hope is sin that lives in your body. It affects your mind. It affects everything about you. Jesus came to die for you so that he could erase that. So that he could bridge the gap between you and God the Father. So that you could have a connection and a relationship, a real personal relationship with the God of creation. Jesus created you in a very special way. He breathed the breath of life into your lungs. He loves you dearly. And nothing would stop him from proving his love to you by dying on a cross for you. So if you're here, if you're listening, and you think, man, I just have an emptiness inside, Jesus is the only thing that can fill that emptiness. He is the only thing that can fill that hole. Here's how that works. You just need to understand you sin. We all do. That makes sense. If you have kids, you know sin is a normal part of life, right? So admit that you have sin and that you are a sinner. You do it often. And then see yourself as a sinner who needs forgiveness and salvation. Can you see that? And now I want you to think about this. Jesus is the only one who can forgive you. It's not about giving money to the church. It's not about going to church. It's not about doing good things. I mean, all those things are nice. But Jesus doesn't care about your rap sheet. He cares about your heart. He wants to know that you believe with all your heart that he is the one who can save you. And so what you do is you just have a conversation with him and you say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I've done bad things my whole life. You know, Jesus, what I've done. And I just want to admit I'm a sinner. And I know that you are the one who can forgive me. You died on a cross for my sin. And I accept your payment as my own. And at the moment, man, the Holy Spirit moves into your life. And you stand before God as one who is forgiven, loved, and a child of his. So I want to encourage you today. Guys, either be anxious and busy because the day is coming. Or give your life to Jesus right now. Guys, we love you. We're here for you. You can call the office anytime. You can email us, text us, whatever. We're always praying for you. But our biggest prayer is that you would love Jesus. Love him with all your heart. That you would serve Jesus with every ounce of your being. That you would just be all in and sold out for the kingdom of Christ. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for four practical things that we could actually do in life right now to survive the pandemic. But God, there are four things that we need to be doing until the day of the Lord, the day that Jesus comes back. And God, as a believer, I pray that we are excited about that day. I pray that the thought of seeing our Savior face to face would be the thing that wakes us up in the morning, the thing that causes us to sleep well in the evenings, the thing that causes us to open our mouths when people feel lost and they feel discouraged, and we can just share that simple truth that Jesus loves them. God, I pray for the many people listening. I pray for their hearts. I pray for their lives. I pray for their families, Lord. I would ask that you would protect and that you would keep them healthy and keep them safe, if that's your will. I would pray that they would come to know you. If they don't, they would have a relationship with you, Jesus. I would pray that if they do have a relationship, that relationship would just grow deeper and deeper and deeper until the thing that defines us is not fear. The thing that defines us is not money. The thing that defines us is not fame, but the thing that defines us is Jesus' name. And so, God, I pray that you would do a work in our midst. God, we love you. We're so thankful for social media, for internet, for computers, for smartphones. You have made a way, and so we thank you. God, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. Guys, we'll see you soon. We love you. If you need anything, let us know.